I'm not going to reread the text, but I'm going to give you a title of what I want to preach on this morning. I want to preach to you, by God's grace, if He's pleased to let us hear from Him this morning, on the promise and the school teacher. The promise and the school teacher. And in this chapter, Paul discusses both of those. There was a promise given by God way back. We're going to read that here in a minute. Way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, it's recorded. The first one that ever heard the promise of the coming seed was Satan himself. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Let me read that to you. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. This was right after the fall of Adam. And when the Lord God got Adam and Eve and the one who had deceived Eve together, which was Satan, he took upon himself the form of a serpent and came to Eve, and he deceived her. And when God got those three together, he gave this pronunciation concerning a coming seed. I want you to pay very close attention to this. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will, not I'll try to, or not maybe, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. That seed was spelled out so clearly here. That seed of promise is the woman's seed. It's not the seed of Adam. It's the woman's seed. And that promise was given again in covenant form with Abraham, the father of faith. If I can find it here. Well, I can't find it. God gave Abraham a promise. And it's in our text here. In verse 16. It's just a repeat of what the Old Testament promise was. Verse 16 of Galatians 3. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The woman's seed that was promised back in the garden now has been joined to a covenant that was given unto Abraham, that through him and his seed, which is Christ, all nations of this world shall be blessed. There is no blessing from God apart from the seed of the woman. All that God has or ever will have for a people in the way of a blessing is going to come from that seed. Now, it's the woman's seed. Let me explain this to you just a little bit. I don't want to get away from our subject here, but it was called the woman's seed because it literally was the woman's seed that was brought into this world. God handpicked a little virgin. Her name was Mary. And she asked the question whenever God approached her by the way of an angel that she was going to be with child. She said, "How can this be since I've never known a man? How can I be pregnant and have a baby? I've never known a man." It was a miraculous thing. But she bore a son without a man because he was going to be the one that did not have the nature of Adam. Amen. No fallen nature. He was the Holy One that came forth from the womb. He is the one from all eternity that God chose a people in from all eternity. That group of people whom the Father had placed his love and affection upon were also in this seed, this promised seed, according to God's purpose before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
They've never been anywhere else according to the purpose of God. Although each one of them is brought into this world with an Adamic nature. That nature that is fallen and dead in trespasses and sins. Yet our Heavenly Father has never seen them anywhere else other than in that holy seed. They have been in that seed and remain in that seed. And they shall throughout eternity be blessed and loved and shall occupy eternity in the presence of the seed of the woman.
Amen.
God's only begotten Son. That promise that the blessings of Abraham would come upon all nations. That blessing is in that seed, not in Abraham himself. Abraham believed God, and it, that is, his faith or his trust, his reliance on God taking care of his promise that he gave to Abraham. Abraham believed God against all natural thinking and natural ability that a man could have. When he was almost 100 years old and his wife was in her 90s, God told Abraham, said, "You and your wife Sarai will have a child." A picture in the Old Testament of the miracle birth of that seed that God had promised. And Abraham laughed and rejoiced at the promise. And Abraham believed God, that God not only would promise, but God would carry out his promise. He who cannot lie made Abraham a promise. "I'm going to give you and Sarai a child. Impossible at their age for them to bear a child. But all things are possible with God." And he carried out. But Abraham believed God would carry out what he promised. And the scripture says, "It was counted unto him for righteousness." That is one of the most beautiful pictures and subjects that's told all down through the Old Testament until it comes over into the New Testament. The just, those that are justified before God, shall live by a God-given faith. Amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are truly brought to salvation put their hope, their trust, their confidence not in anything that man can do, but only in that which that promised seed has accomplished. He who knew no sin, and that was that seed, that sinless seed that came into this world according to God's promise. He came into this world, and he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
If you're a believer this morning, you stand before God in Christ, not apart from Christ, but in Christ. You stand in him and him alone.
Amen.
You look nowhere else for a righteousness, because God will receive no other righteousness other than that which He Himself hath provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He is Jehovah Sit Kanu, the Lord our righteousness. So much so that every believer, or the church, if you don't mind, I'll make it simple, is also called by that same name.
Amen.
The Lord our righteousness. Mm-hmm. All of our hopes that we have for the future, eternal life, the blessings of God, regardless of where, what they are, or if they never seem to come, the believer has one hope. One hope. He's been given a faith, or she's been given a faith, that sees all of God's blessings wrapped up in one person. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's this seed. That's the seed that Abraham was promised. And it was typified through Isaac, his son. But that seed came about a little over 2,000 years ago, according to our calendar. Not according to God's, but according to our calendar. A little over 2,000 years ago, God brought that seed that He had promised. He was born of a virgin. And He came here on a mission. A mission that the Father had given Him before the foundation of the world. And He had taken it unto Himself and agreed in covenant, the everlasting covenant, the covenant of God's grace, that He would come into this world as a divinely appointed substitute. He is the only substitute that God will accept.
Amen.
Because He is the one God appointed. And as a substitute, He came here, was born of a virgin, He knew no sin, and He walked perfect before God. Not before man, but before God. Man found all kinds of faults in Jesus. So much so that they made this declaration, "We shall not have this man to reign over us." But He does. God already had that fixed. Long, long time ago. In eternity past. But this one came into this world born of a virgin. And He came here on a mission of mercy to do for a people what they could not and would not do for themselves.
Amen.
And it's not only that they would not and could not, they will not. Mm-hmm. Now that promise that God gave of this coming Savior, the coming of His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to do what the law commanded in the room and the stead of a people whom the Father had given Him before the foundation of the world. In other words, it's God's election of grace.
Amen.
Okay? That promise God fulfilled in the person of His Son. But in the Old Testament, there was something that was added to that promise. God had purposed, and in fact He told Abraham before it ever happened, that His people would be in bondage for 400 years. And then God raised up a man by the name of Moses, a deliverer, which was typical or typified the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in delivering a people out of the land of bondage, out of the land of Egypt. And He got them out of Egypt, and they were crying and murmuring and carrying on, and God began to speak from heaven, terrified them, scared them to death. And they went to Moses, and they said, "Moses, don't let God talk to us. Said, let Him speak to you, and you tell us what He said. And you tell God this. You tell Him just to tell us what He wants us to do, and we will do it." Sounds a whole lot like Baptist religion to me. Just tell us what you want us to do, and we will do it. Well, God did. He added the law to the promise of the coming Messiah. And the law has sections. It has sections. But it's one law. One law. If you break one command, you break all of them. And that law is absolutely perfect. It's holy. It's just. It's righteous. There's no flaws in the law of the living God.
Amen.
Now, I could try to go through a bunch of that this morning, but I'm not going to. I just want to take your mind and your attention to the, first off, to the Ten Commandments. And we'll not even try to quote them. We'll just use the first one. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength." And then number two was to love your neighbor as yourself. God gave them 10 commandments. And those commandments were not a do list. They were added to the promise. And in those 10 commandments, you'll find the character attributes of the seed that was to come. There's only been one man that ever walked on the face of this earth that kept God's law perfectly from the cradle to the grave. He's the only man and he did not keep it for himself.
Amen.
He was here as a divinely appointed substitute. And he walked and lived out every jot and tittle of the law perfectly on behalf of a people who were placed in him by divine election before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
They were in him. Every breath Christ breathed, they breathed in him. Every perfect holy thought that he thought, they thought with him. Every step he took while on this earth, they took that same step in him.
Amen.
In him, by divine election, they walked in him and lived in him and satisfied God's law in him.
Amen.
And that holy seed that came into this world, after he had satisfied every jot and tittle of the law, because those people whom the Father had given him were born into this world with an Adamic nature, he went to the cross as a divinely appointed substitute. And in him, I can't express that strong enough. In him, they died on a Roman cross. And in him, he bore their sins in his body on a tree. And he bore them away. He satisfied that law and God's justice in his life and in his death on the cross. And then arose from the grave to sound forth the message. It's finished. It's done. Those whom the Father hath given me, their sins are gone forevermore. And they rest in the Lord our righteousness. Okay? That promised seed that came into this world, that God gave or added unto that promise, the law was added to it. And Paul asked a real good question here. I don't know how many of you have ever thought of this question yourself personally, but I found it very intriguing, the question itself. If the law never saved anybody and couldn't save anybody, why was it added to the promise? And that's what Paul asked here in verse 19 of Galatians 3. He says, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" Just what benefit is the law anyway? Does it have one? Yeah, it sure does. And Paul gives us the answer in this text. Look at verse 23. Actually, look at verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. And let me tell you something, you're in that all. He didn't leave out anybody. Every one of us, we're all under sin. By nature, we are dead in trespasses and sins. That's outside of Christ. In Christ, we're alive and sinless forevermore.
Amen.
Okay. Verse 22 again. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. What is that promise? It's a righteousness that meets the demands of God's law and justice.
Amen.
Which declares me innocent, not guilty. And stands me before a thrice holy God and enables me to have communion with Him. My. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. There's our teacher, one I want to talk about a little bit about this morning. We have a teacher. And this teacher was ordained by God at the giving of the law to be a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Wherefore them served the law? It was ordained in the hands of a mediator and used of God as a teacher to bring us unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that promised seed given way back in the beginning. That beautiful promise. Wherefore, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law was never given to save anyone. It was just added to the promise to be a school teacher, to teach us what we need to know. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Anybody here done that yet? Well, you're just getting started. That's just the first command. Huh? Anybody here want to be saved by the law? Huh? Well, the Jews took the law and made a works system out of it. The same way that man has taken the gospel today and made a works system out of it. One of the most popular evangelists that this country has ever known was a gentleman from down in North Carolina. I won't call his name. Not important. But I heard him say more than once, if you'll just believe, you'll be born again. Well, he got the cart before the horse. If you're born again from above, then you will believe. But you're not going to believe in order to be born again. Faith is an evidence. It's not the cause of the new birth. It's the evidence that you have been born from above. It's like repentance. Know ye not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The law is a schoolmaster in many, many different ways. And I just want to kind of share a little bit about the curriculum this morning of our school teacher, the law. The first thing that the law tells us is that we cannot be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
The law demands absolute perfection. Any perfect people in here this morning? Huh? I used to be. And if you all won't lie about it, you used to be too. I used to be just like them Jews back when God gave them the law. Just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. Blinder than a bat. Blinder than a bat. Didn't have any eyes to see with. Didn't have any ears to hear with. Until I was quickened one day by the Holy Spirit and found out that without Him, I can do nothing. I can't repent. I can't believe. I can't follow. Have no desire for any of that stuff apart from His work in me. The schoolmaster was set up in commands. And I have never studied this out myself, but I'll take the word this morning of people that know more than I know, which is about everybody. But they say there's at least 365 direct commands in the Old Testament that was given to the nation of Israel. Now that's not one a day they're supposed to keep. That's 365 direct commands of God to keep from the cradle to the grave. And they got to keep it perfectly, in word, in thought, and in deed. There can be no idle thoughts and fulfill the law.
Amen.
And I can't get past that. I have a bunch of idle thoughts. Most of my thoughts is about me. That's very idle. I like to be healthy and wise and all the good things. And then God looks at me and says, "You're dead in trespasses and sins, and you can't do anything about it." That's what that law says. That law is a curse if you pick it up and try to keep it in order to justify yourself before God. Now, it's beautiful. It's holy. It's perfect. But it has a weakness built into it. And the weakness is right here.
Amen.
It's its old flesh. And the weakness is sitting back here too. Nobody can keep it. Not the way that the law spells out perfection from the cradle to the grave. Not one idle thought, not one false step, not anything that's contrary to the perfect will of God. But in that law was also a mixture of mercy that was revealed. There was a ceremonial law, and then there was a law of sacrifice. And we can't get into those real deep, but just let me give you just a glimpse of this school teacher's curriculum. We have a school teacher that starts out with the commandments and teaches us that we are sinners and we cannot save ourselves. And then it begins to give us a glimmer of hope in the ceremonial part of the law. The first thing that God did in under that law was told Moses to build a tabernacle. And he gave Moses all the dimensions and told him exactly how to build it until it would typify something. The tabernacle typified that seed that was to come.
Amen.
Now let me try to make just a few points here. On the outside, that tent of meeting, or the tabernacle where God met with man, on the outside it was made of badger skins, just like the rest of the tents. Couldn't tell one tent from another tent, just standing at a distance and looking into the camp of Israel. You couldn't tell which was the tabernacle and which was just a dwelling place. That's the same way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was made bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, except he had no sin. he was the God man. He looked just like us on the outside. Just like those badger skins look like every other tent. You couldn't pick him out. There was no halo around the top of his head like's in the pictures. He was a man. 100% man. Only without sin. But he was a man. That tabernacle pictured something else. If you look at the outside only, all you're going to see is badger skins. You can't behold the beauty and the glory of that tabernacle till you get to the inside. And all the people in Israel didn't make it into the tabernacle. There was a select group of people that served in the tabernacle. They were called Levites, the tribe of priests. And they moved about on the inside of the tabernacle. They could behold the beauty and the glory of the inner building. That's the difference between being an unbeliever and a believer. Everybody knows about Jesus. But very few people know about the God-man who loved us and gave himself for us. There's a priesthood here on this earth. Even today, it's not Levitical anymore. It's a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven. And they've been born again. That they might believe and that they might know the Lord, our righteousness.
Amen.
And they've been privileged to serve on the inside of the tabernacle from on high. They behold the beauties and the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been blessed to fellowship and to commune as no other people on the face of this earth do. They know Him. They know Him. He's been revealed to them. And they see the man, the badger skins. But they also behold the beauties and the glories. They behold the table of showbread. That beautiful golden table that had the three crowns round it, wherein the showbread was laid upon it daily. They behold that, and they see that the only hope they have is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every stitch of furniture in that tabernacle pointed to one person. That seed that was promised.
Amen.
And that seed that came to pass 2,000 years ago. That seed that walked the streets of Jerusalem as a substitute. He who loved us and gave himself for us. Wherefore, the law is our schoolmaster. It teaches us that we ourselves cannot save ourselves. It requires somebody that can meet the demands of that law. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can. Amen. And has. And then God works within us. Opens our eyes and gives us ears to hear. And we find in Him all that we need for time and eternity.
Amen.
That's what the law teaches us. It's what the law has always taught. It's a schoolmaster. To show us our inability and to teach us His total ability.
Amen.
Call His name Jesus. For He, all by Himself, shall save His people from their sins. And I'm here to tell you this morning one more time. We'll close with this. He got the job done.
Anyway.
Hope that's a blessing.